In the small town of Brenham, Texas, there was a high school baseball player back in 1989. Now, this young man was a senior in high school. He was on the eve of pitching his 51st straight win. He was blessed with a 92-mile-an-hour fastball, amazing control. He had spent his entire life devoted to being a better pitcher. He would run 5 miles a day. He would train year-round. He actually was featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the first high school athlete ever to be featured. And they called him Super Kid. And you look at someone like this, and he is living the dream. He's a high school pitcher. He's got colleges and pro scouts lined up wanting him to sign with them. But his life was not the dream. He later confessed that the night before this record-setting 51st win, he swallowed 3/4 of a bottle of Tylenol trying to take his own life. Within the next 3 years, he had 4 different shoulder surgeries, and his pitching days were done. His life spiraled into depression. He spent the next 20 years fighting alcoholism, depression, chronic pain, getting addicted to pain meds. For him, baseball and his abilities as a pitcher were everything. That was how he identified himself. That was his entire self-image. That is what he had devoted his entire life to being. Now, there's nothing wrong with working at a sport, improving your skills and using the gifts God has given you. And in fact, God tells us specifically to make the most of our gifts. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, he tells the story of different servants who were given different amounts of money and how they were to use that. But they were to use it to further their master's business. Paul often uses the comparison of athletics in his letters. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things." Near the end of his life, he told Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Sports has its place. And obviously, since I coach, I'm a big fan of sports. I like following teams and supporting them all over the place. It teaches us positive things like discipline, sportsmanship, and teamwork. And even if you're not into sports, you can use your gifts in any activity that God has given you. They're a great way to exercise and improve your physical health and take care of our bodies, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But like anything else, it can be taken too far. It could become a bad thing. When I was in high school, I remember the day of a game, especially the day of a big game, like a playoff game or something, that pretty much dominated my thoughts all day long. It was always in the back of my mind. I hate to say it, but at that point in my life, sports were probably one of the most important things to me. Sports or any activity can dominate our life. We can obsess over it. It can become part of our self-image, whether it's sports or even music or theater or just being a friend. We can let that become something that becomes more important than anything else to us. But in our text for today from 1 Timothy, we read, "Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Exercise is great. It has a lot of benefits, both physically and mentally, and then also emotionally as well. But it's not what's most important. It's not the thing that dominates our life. Whether you do well or do poorly in a game, whether the ref got the right call or totally blew it, whether your team won or lost, whether you made the winning shot or you totally blew it. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks to God for the blessings of exercise, the blessings of being able to use the gifts that He's giving you, and the joy of playing the game and the fellowship we enjoy with one another. And as we read in our text, yes, we give thanks for these, but these are only temporary. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Giving thanks to God, win or lose, it's only temporary. All of us will have to say goodbye to sports at some time. All of us will, our abilities will fade. We will be delegated more and more to watching from the sidelines. Same thing is true of any gifts. Even musical ability. We lose the physical ability to play instruments or sing. But thanks be to God that these are not the things that define us. Whether we lose or win, we rejoice. And we have the ability to rejoice with those who did well. Even if we did poorly, in Philippians we read, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also the interests of others." Part of our activity in sports is building one another up, supporting one another. Even if I had a bad game, this is very difficult for me to do, but to be happy for those who had a good game. Now, I confess that this might be an area in my own life where I struggle. And maybe you do too. But we have a Savior. A Savior who sees all our shortcomings. And He doesn't value us based on our abilities in music or in theater or in sports. He compares us. He looks at us and He sees Jesus' perfection. And that is where our identity lies. Chances are you'll never play professional sports. Chances are you'll never get your picture featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But thanks to God, we can do everything we do in word or in deed to His glory. And so if there was a cover for each and every one of us, it would just say, "Saved." That is where our identity lies. And that is what's most important to us. Let's sing about this in the words of Hymn 366, verses 1 and 7. Hymn 366, verses 1 and 7.